Time for some girl talk.
I don't know how to do girl talk, Selena admitted, approaching the couch.
Good. Neither do I, Ivy declared, smiling up at her.
Luke groaned as he woke up, his head pounding, his side a throbbing, aching mess. Daylight leaked in through the edges of the curtains. Not his house. He didn't know where she was, only that she'd drugged him and left him here, a faint floral scent, her scent, still in his nose. Luke lunged for his helmet, biting down a shout of pain as the skin along his ribs pulled. He jammed the helmet onto his head, flicking the lenses over his eyes as he gathered up the scales of armor she'd ripped away, depositing them into his utility belt pouches, along with the stitching kit she'd used on him. No DNA left behind. Luke opened the bedroom door, kicking away the wool sweaters she'd used to cut off any light, any trace of her beyond the feel of her body, the heat of her mouth, the scent of her hair and skin. He was grinding his teeth, buckling on his utility belt as he stormed for where he assumed the front door would be. Right into the kitchen of Commissioner Gordon, where Gordon, his teenage daughter, and his young son were eating breakfast. Gordon's daughter let out a murmur of alarm, his son a cry of delight, and Gordon himself, he dropped his cereal-filled spoon right onto the small kitchen table.
Good morning,
was all Luke could think to say, and headed for the front door just past the table. Gordon recovered enough to say,
Good morning to you too.
His son whispered, reverent and overjoyed,
Batwing.
Luke smiled beneath his helmet and went so far as to ruffle the boy's dark hair as he passed. Gordon's daughter spotted his ribs first.
Are you all right?
Gordon's attention shot to the bare skin, the stitches. He rose from his chair.
Jesus!
Luke knew Gordon would never say anything. None of them would. But it wouldn't surprise him if some of the shock on the man's face had to do with the brown skin peeking through Batwing's suit.
I'm fine, Luke said, reaching the front door. Totally fine.
He glanced toward Gordon's son.
Just making sure all is well in the neighborhood.
They just watched him, wide-eyed, as he unlocked the door and headed into the hall. Oh, she'd known precisely whose apartment she'd brought him to. He didn't know whether to be furious or amused. From the smile tugging on his mouth, Luke fought it and made a quick exit down the building stairs. As he headed for the nearest rooftop, Luke realized that he'd slept through the night and hadn't been woken once, hadn't had one nightmare. Chapter 27. Harley was leaning against the brick wall of the alley when Selena and Ivy arrived the next night. No sign of the boy shorts and fishnets, just two-tone leggings, boots, and a tiny ball bomb in either hand.
New outfit?
Selena asked, but Ivy had gone still at her side, nervous.
No more robberies, Harley said, her face hard and cold.
Well, I'm sure the Gotham Antiquities Museum will be sorry to hear that our appointment tonight is canceled,
Selena said, sizing up the space between Harley and Ivy. When she'd called Ivy this afternoon with the time and location for their next rendezvous, she hadn't hinted at anything between them being amiss, but Selena halted a healthy distance away. Harley's eyes remained on her, though, as if Ivy didn't exist.
I want the Joker out of Arkham now.
Selena kept her arms within casual distance of her weapons, not daring to let her claws slide free. Not yet. It'd signal a fight, and getting into it with Harley tonight would not be good for her plans. She'd humiliated Gordon and the GCPD. Whether he'd figured out that Batwing had been dumped in his guest room by her didn't matter. It was only a matter of time until they came for Catwoman, and only a matter of time before Nyssa and Talia's army arrived too, bringing with it utter annihilation.
Wait another day or two,
Selena said calmly, her voice the portrait of boredom.
We do it now, Harley snapped.
We proved twice now that we can break someone out, and I have it on good authority that my man's aware of us, of our little shopping spree here in Gotham, and he's pissed we're taking so long.
Ivy flinched at the two words, my man, but Ivy countered coolly,
Arkham is a different beast than the city prison, Harley.
You're siding with her?
Harley demanded. Perhaps it was pity for the pain on Ivy's face, but Selina said,
We need to sell some of what we've stolen first. We need more cash to bribe the right people.
Get the damn cash. We do this now.
Harley aimed both of her bombs towards Selina.
Harley!
Ivy barked.
Shut up!
Harley snarled, not taking her eyes off Selina as she advanced, thumb on the small trigger atop each bomb.
Just shut up, Ivy!
Selina calculated the distance between them. Harley would not miss.
Wherever you've been hiding all the stolen shit, we go there now. Now!
Ivy's face had gone pale. Use your gases, Selina silently willed her. Stop this. Harley kept a safe distance away, knowing that if she got close enough for Selina to reach her, those bombs would be out of her hands.
Lead the way, cat.
Selina looked to Ivy, who shook her head in warning and in apology. Love, as venomous as one of Ivy's plants.
Let's go then, Selina said, and started into a walk.
This particular warehouse in the docks was so decrepit even the lowlifes didn't bother with it, didn't sniff around or look at the hidden lower level, the trunks inside. Harley kept her bombs at the ready the entire time Selina unloaded whatever smaller stolen items the duffel bag could carry, Ivy's hands shaking as she helped. And when they were done, Harley ordered,
Go find a buyer.
So Selina did. With Harley breathing unevenly behind her, she led them through the maze of the slums to the abandoned fish processing plant at the river edge of the Bowery. She'd placed the call with a burner phone to the number of the man who used this place to sell things that couldn't be traded in legal markets. And as they entered the cavernous, reeking space, Selina said,
Now we wait.
How long?
Harley demanded. Her eyeliner had smudged, some running down the side of her face in a mockery of tears.
No more than an hour, Selina said calmly.
Ivy stepped up to Selina's side.
Harley, put the bombs down. We're here now. It's fine.
Harley only turned one of the bombs on Ivy.
The hell it is.
Selina let out a quiet laugh, temper straining.
What does that bastard have on you to get you to so easily turn on your friends?
On Ivy, who loves you for whatever reason I can't see. Harley's own laugh was broken, jagged.
When we unleashed the Joker's men, you know what they did? They went right to my mom's house.
Selina's heart stalled a beat.
Batwing brought them in.
Harley mimicked,
Batwing brought them in.
She spat on the ground.
Your little boyfriend didn't get to them fast enough. They had hours, and since my boyfriend knows who I am, he made sure those bastards went to my mama's house first.
Selina's stomach turned over. That's where Harley had been last night, why she hadn't been at the apartment.
Is she all right?
Don't pretend that you give a shit.
Harley's chest heaved.
He told her to tell me that if we don't spring him free immediately, he'll make sure my mom receives his own brand of justice.
Bile coated her throat as Selina pleaded,
Put the bombs away, Harley. If they're dragging your mom into it, we won't mess around. He'll be out tonight. Just put those bombs away.
Panic flared in Harley's blue eyes, right beneath the rage.
He is going to hurt her.
I know, Selina breathed. And I won't let that happen. I swear.
Your promises are shit, Harley hissed. You think we don't know where you went last night? Who you went with?
Selina shot Ivy a look. So much for a code of not screwing over allies. Ivy mouthed,
I'm sorry.
Selina said to Harley,
It's not what it seems.
Part of the game?
Harley mocked.
Hooking up with the enemy?
Put the bombs away, Harley,
Selina said. Ivy was shaking beside her, looking like she'd vomit over the stained concrete. But she said, voice clear and steady. If the Joker is out, Harley, you know how bad things might—
He won't touch you, Harley snapped at Ivy. I told you that. You, my mom, you're safe.
But what about the other people? Ivy demanded, voice trembling. What about them?
Who gives a shit?
Harley's left thumb shifted on the bomb.
I do, Ivy breathed. I do, Harley.
Selena cut in. If the buyer sees those bombs, you can say goodbye to the bribe cash. Harley leveled a seething look at her.
How about we show him whatever's under that mask instead?
The warehouse doors blew open in a cloud of smoke, the windows exploding a second later, and a SWAT team from the GCPD stormed in. Chapter 28. Selena had marked the exits and defensible locations in the warehouse. She rolled toward a hulking tower of machinery as Harley lobbed her bombs, swearing. They detonated with a flash and bang that shattered windows and sent dust raining from the ceiling. Ivy sprinted for Harley's side, thumbing free a few of those beautiful flowers. She hurled them toward the police, smoke instantly filling the space. But the GCPD had marked them too, and the SWAT team that burst through the doors were all wearing gas masks. Ivy lobbed more flowers toward them anyway, vines snapping into the fog, the smoke now near impenetrable. The police had the exits guarded. Gordon was taking no risks. But the window closest to them, 20 feet away?
Here,
Selena shouted through the smoke to Harley and Ivy. Now! Harley had slid on a gas mask, courtesy of Ivy, and as she emerged, throwing bombs blindly into the smoke, police shouting orders to fall back, to cease fire, a trickle of blood was sliding down her arm. She'd been clipped. Nothing bad, but Ivy was pressing a hand to Harley's wound. Blood coated Ivy's pale fingers, her wrists. They slid to a stop behind the machine that Selena was braced against. Selena pointed toward the window.
Another squadron is outside, waiting. We make a run for it. We can surprise them if we leap through.
They'll shoot us before we clear the window,
Ivy said, sizing up the distance, the squad no doubt in the alley beyond.
I'll buy you time, Selena panted. You keep running. Don't stop.
Harley studied Selena as the shouts from the SWAT team across the factory floor grew closer.
What about you?
I didn't think you cared.
Selena could have sworn something like regret flickered in Harley's blue eyes, but Ivy ordered,
We need to move, now.
Selena didn't give them another warning as she charged for that window. A trap, a big one, lay outside. She drew the blade from down her back, bullwhip clenched in her other hand. At her side, through the smoke, green flashed, Ivy's own vine whip. Selena reached the window.
Blow it out, Harley!
A bomb answered, Harley's last. Glass was still shattering as Selena leapt atop the crate beneath the window, grabbed the sill, and swung herself through and out. An armed SWAT team waited by the back door a few feet away, guns pointed, masks over their faces as they whirled toward where Selena landed.
Drop your weapons and—
Selena didn't hear the rest. She snapped her whip through the air, catching the nearest gun and ripping it out of the officer's hands. The others hesitated, as if surprised at the unusual weapon, the movement. Twin sets of feet landed behind her, Harley and Ivy. They wasted no time, Harley hurling two throwing knives at the shocked officers in her way, a brazen charge that Selena half noticed as she snapped her whip again, knocking another gun to the ground. Ivy and Harley were through the line of fire. A few leaps had them atop a dumpster, then jumping over another line of cop cars, Harley throwing another knife with lethal aim, Ivy's vine whipping through the air. Selena didn't look to see if they made it beyond that, to where the Sprang River flowed past the warehouse at the edge of the docks, but she heard the twin splashes, barely audible over the shouts of the officers now before Selena. The element of surprise gone, guns now pointed at her face.
Drop your weapons,
the officer before her ordered, stepping closer. The door behind her slammed open, SWAT officers pouring out behind her, surrounding her completely. 30 men, armed, granted permission to kill. Selena took in the countless guns, the Kevlar. Her sword clattered to the ground. then the whip. And slowly, Selena raised her hand skyward as GCPD pressed in. Chapter 29. Luke was up and in the gym before dawn, just in time to turn on the early morning news and see the headline that had him turning off the treadmill. Cat claws way into Arkham Asylum. Luke couldn't move, couldn't lunge for the exit to his apartment and his closet where his suit was, couldn't think of what to do as he saw the blurry footage. Catwoman, thrashing and screaming, utterly wild as she was hauled into the armored police van. Not at all the calm, cool woman he'd known. No, this woman did not go gently into that van, her claws gouging deep lines into the metal as she was shoved in, handcuffed, chained down, shrieking, laughing. Arkham Asylum. Some had tried to rename the facility and ditch its outdated title, but the name still hung around, the whispers of fear with it. A place where the criminally insane were sent, the worst of the worst. Its security systems and protocols were unmatched, even by Blackgate. But there she was, the news footage now cutting to a live feed from Arkham. The media were invited to what seemed to be a small interrogation room. Luke knew that familiar, cold interior, the fluorescent lights, pale walls, and low ceilings that made everything look greenish, sickly. Made even worse by all the press crammed in there, focused on the empty table, void of anything save an anchor for handcuffs. Chains. There was nothing he could do. As Luke Fox or Batwing. Even if he called Gordon as Batwing right now, there was no way in hell that call would reach him in time. Stop him. She'd made a laughingstock of the GCPD, and had pushed and pushed until the door to the room opened. And she was led in, still wearing her helmet and suit, cuffed and at gunpoint, a small army of SWAT team officers pushing her into the chair before that table, facing all those cameras. The district attorney strode in after her, his face like granite. And Luke knew what was about to take place at this table, why the media had been invited.
Here in Gotham City,
the DA said to the cameras, coming up behind where Catwoman was being chained to the table.
We don't tolerate those who threaten the security, happiness, and well-being of our people.
Arkham Asylum. It had to be a conscious choice to put her in there, too, to undermine her control over her actions these past few weeks.
Are Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy in custody, too?
One of the reporters inquired. The dark-haired DA stared down at Catwoman, sitting so still in that chair, waiting, ready. Luke wished he could read her face, see whatever was going on beneath that mask.
They remain at large, but once they see the example we set today, perhaps they will find it wise to turn themselves in.
Luke's stomach churned, his heart thundering in his chest.
Don't do it, he whispered into the whirring silence of the gym. Don't do it, man.
For too long, the DA said to the media. The criminals of this city have hidden behind masks, used them to garner fear and chaos, but they are not all-powerful. They are not gods.
The DA laid his light brown hands on either side of her helmet.
And today, we take a step toward revealing them for the mere mortals they are beneath.
Luke's feet were rooted to the gym floor, his breathing shallow and uneven. The entire room seemed to be holding its breath as the DA lifted the helmet from Catwoman's head. Luke saw the blonde hair first, then the green eyes, full of cold emerald fire. And his knees gave out from under him, sending him sinking onto the floor as he found himself staring at Holly Vanderhees's face on the screen. The DA recoiled in shock. Holly smiled slightly up at him, then turned to smile at the camera. Luke didn't wait for the media to realize who she was. He raced through the gym, up the stairs, and into his apartment, his aching side protesting the entire way. He paused only to grab his toolkit from a kitchen cabinet and was out of his apartment in a few seconds. He stalked right up to Holly's door, some small part of him grateful that his hands held surprisingly steady as he picked the lock. Her apartment, still shadowed in the early morning light, clean, unremarkable, a mirror image of his own, though the furniture and art had a more feminine feel. She had probably rented the place furnished. He stormed for her bedroom, barely hearing his steps over the roaring in his ears. Holly. Holly, who he had danced with, laughed with, tried to kiss. "I'm not what you need," she'd said. Knowing what she was, the rich boy she believed him to be, living next door to him, all this time. Her bedroom was clean, her large bed made, not a thing out of place. But the closet? Luke strode in, scanned the racks of clothes and shoes until his eyes landed on the mirror in the back. He went right up to the mirror and slid his hands over the wood. There were no catches, no buttons like in his own apartment. A mirror image of his own place. The button was on the other side. He found it instantly. A hiss and click, and the secret compartment door swung away, revealing a dim room, lights flickering to life, revealing each detail as they warmed up. The assortment of weapons on the walls, the chrome work table with her toolkit left scattered over the surface, wires and bits of metal everywhere. The glittering heaps of jewels in the far corner, the piles of cash, the shoeboxes full of gold bullion. Shoeboxes. How many times had he seen her walking into and out of this apartment with shopping bags full of them? They had always looked so heavy, and when he'd offered to carry them for her, she'd refused, knowing the weight would give away that she didn't have shoes inside. Two sides of the same coin, she'd said. She had to know that he was Batwing, that they were both pretenders, liars, one serving the light, the other the dark. Holly, with that sad smile, who seemed to hate the rich and powerful and yet lived among them. Luke racked his brain. He'd never heard of Holly Vanderhees until this fall. Never. She'd arrived on a private jet in August as if she were a ghost emerging from the clouds, a wraith, a ghoul. Holly was a League assassin. And Holly had never really existed. Luke was about to turn on his heel when a sliver of paper on Catwoman's work table caught his eye. Luke stepped farther into the space, her scent lingering, that same floral scent that he'd awoken with. His name was on it. Luke. He picked up the slip of paper, heart pounding. His mouth went completely dry as he flipped over the paper and beheld the three words there. Protect this city. Luke was moving before he could think it through. He was dressed and in his loaner car, a silver BMW i8, within minutes, speeding down the streets of the city moments after that, heading to Wayne Industries. It crossed the line to even think of getting her out of Arkham. Bruce would kick his ass for it. More than that, it was illegal. But she'd wanted him to find that paper. As if, should this ever happen to her, she wanted him to know that she fully realized who had been living across the hall from her and that her command from all those weeks ago still held. Protect this city. Luke's stomach clenched, as if recoiling from the ghost of the touch she'd brushed down the scar along his torso, knowing it was shrapnel that had torn him apart, bringing him to that room, kissing him, because she knew that as Holly, she couldn't start down that road. But as Catwoman, what had been real? A bad breakup had brought her here, she'd said. Not with a guy, but with the League. He had to know more, starting with finding out everything about Holly Vanderhees. Chapter 30. It had been so easy to create Holly Vanderhees. She wasn't particularly sad to see her go. Selena knew that the world was wondering, who is this socialite crime queen? Harley and Ivy were probably wondering it too. And as she sat in her filthy, solitary cell in Arkham, counting the hours and guards who leered at her, sorting through the shouting of prisoners down the three-storied cell block, Selena herself wondered if Harley and Ivy would forgive her for the lies, for being one of the rich assholes they so hated. By now, the media would have found the social media profiles she'd crafted months ago. Summers in Provence, winters in St. Bart's, parties with her face seamlessly photoshopped into group shots around gala tables, or on yachts, or in clubs. For a woman who'd never existed, Holly had led a remarkably public life. The hours passed, one by one. They'd taken her suit, her helmet, shoved her into a white jumpsuit. In the changing room, even before she'd donned the long-sleeved shirt they gave her to wear beneath the pale threads, the female officer didn't comment on her tattooed arms. And in the chill cell block, Selena hauled the rough wool blanket around her shoulders as she sat on her cot. At least they hadn't put her in the sub-level below, the one for intensive treatment inmates. But the cold, reeking air still seemed to reach her, rising up from the floor, as if it were a beckoning grave. Selena blocked it out. She had suffered worse. Here in the enormous vaulted space of the female-only East Wing, she could watch and listen, hour after hour. Counting down the seconds, rallying her strength, her mind. Because the moment the DA had removed that helmet, baring her face to the world, Nyssa had begun to make her final move. Selena slept and ate and braced herself. It was nearing dawn when that final move came. Selena knew within a few heartbeats of the shouting and chaos that exploded in the asylum that Nyssa hadn't dispatched one or two of her best assassins to finish the job. Nyssa had sent a small army of them. Chapter 31. The attack unfolded with textbook precision, exactly the way Selena had been taught to do it. First, the outer walls blew up, or Selena felt they did, the enormous U-shaped building shuddering, debris raining, sending the guards running toward the explosions, right into the arms of assassins who executed them, all of them. Every leering, corrupt piece of shit who had rattled the bars on her cell these hours, ogling her, whispering the sorts of things that left no shred of pity in her heart as their screams went silent down the smoke-filled hallways. Silent enough that Selena could clearly hear the click that filled the cell block. The doors to the cells swung open, an invitation and a challenge. She had no doubt that in the West Wing, the doors to the male prisoners' cells were doing the same. Selena let the blanket drop to the floor behind her as she stepped into the hallway, smoke starting to fill the corridor. The escaped prisoners didn't look twice at her as they bolted in either direction, vanishing into the smoke. They didn't glance at what Selena now approached, the item left hanging from one of the ceiling lights near a disabled security camera. Her suit. No helmet. No gloves, no utility belt or bullwhip. Only her boots set against the wall a few feet away. Nyssa wanted her to fight this final battle as herself. No death mask, no additional tech. Selena plucked the suit from its hanging place as the last of the prisoners in her cell block vanished. Quietly, she pulled off the white jumpsuit and slid into battle black. Her hair, her stupid dyed hair, she left unbound. No hair ties to be found. Selena leaned against the wall of the hallway, watching the smoke-filled corridor that led out of the East Wing. The League arrived within seconds, wraiths in the smoke. No individual markings. They were all in identical black, helmets on, their swords the same. One unit, one avenging force of death. The League's brutal fist of justice embodied. With the smoke, she couldn't count how many went past the 10 filling the corridor entryway. Selena pushed off the stark white wall, arms hanging loosely at her sides.
"You've betrayed your fellow living dead," the one at the front of the group said, accent placing the woman from somewhere in Australia. "And as such, we shall put you back in the ground."
Selena smiled.
"Took you long enough to get here."
The assassin before her said,
"You stand charged of theft and high treason. Do you deny this?"
"I do not."
The assassin to the leader's left tensed, as if yanking at the leash. The leader went on.
Return what you stole, what you have come here to sell to these godless fools, and the League will make your death swift.
The threat was clear. If she did not, oh, this death would last a long, long time. Selena laughed quietly.
And what did I steal, exactly?
Beyond time. She'd stolen that, too much of it.
You will not delay this with foolish questions, the leader snapped, drawing a blade sheathed down her back, twin to the ones that had been removed from Selena's own suit. You know what you stole.
Selena lifted a brow.
You can't mean to tell me that Nyssa doesn't remember her little formula?
Silence. Selena snorted.
Perhaps she should have paid attention to those scientists she kidnapped, and not had us execute them when they were done.
Selena had snapped one of their necks amid the gunfire of the other assassins. A moment after he'd whispered to her, begged her not to. Explained what Nyssa had made him work on in secret for 10 years, never seeing sunlight, never seeing his family, knowing that if he disobeyed, she'd kill them. So he'd worked beneath the compound, had done her bidding. He and the two other scientists had found a way for the compound's Lazarus pit to become self-regenerating. A formula to create one from scratch, and for the pit to be used over and over again. The ability to grant immortality to the highest bidder, to bring back people from the dead. The most valuable weapon on Earth. He had told Selena where the data was stored, his password. Begged her to help him get free, to keep Nyssa from unleashing this thing upon the world, selling it to the worst of mankind. Nyssa had entered the blood-splattered room a moment later, demanding to know why Selena hadn't finished the job. Selena had broken the scientist's neck before Nyssa finished speaking. And now, standing before the assassins who had trained her, tormented her, made her into this thing she'd become, Selena lifted her chin. The leader snarled,
"Give us the formula, now."
Selena smiled again.
"It's too late."
The assassins began to advance, moving as one down the smoky cell block hallway. Selena went on,
"Do you know that in the weeks I've been here, my crime spree has gleaned some very interested buyers? People willing to do anything not to die."
The approaching assassins halted, not at her words, but at the figure emerging from the smoke behind her. The person she'd been brokering that formula to. He'd made it up from the sublevel, and right on time. The Joker let out a hoarse laugh, his white jumpsuit baggy on his slim form as he stepped up to Selena's side and drawled,
"Thank you for confirming the formula's existence."
He sketched a mockery of a bow, the smoke obscuring his face, his body, as he said to Selena,
"We have a bargain."
Then he clicked his tongue. Even the League assassins seemed to recoil in surprise as the Joker's army of vicious criminals exploded from behind them and charged down the hall. Chapter 32. She had insisted Ivy bring Harley into their circle for this. All of it, every step, for this. This moment, this gamble, this alliance with the Joker. To have his army, her army now, fight for her when Nyssa's Legion came to claim her head. If the League assassins were cold precision, the Joker's people were scalding chaos. No rules, no lines. In the madness, the Joker extended a slim hand to her.
"The formula, if you will."
His reedy, light voice made her skin crawl. Selena inclined her head.
"Give me an hour, and meet me at the statue of St. Nicholas."
Right before the city proper, if they followed the long road from the outskirts where Arkham lay, he would easily find the marble statue for the patron saint of repentant thieves. She turned to go, but the Joker gripped her arm, his long, thin fingers digging in hard enough to hurt.
"If you aren't there?"
A breathy laugh.
You can imagine what I'll do to you and yours.
She peered down at the hand holding her, then up into the pale, angular face just barely visible through the smoke.
Don't ever touch me again, she said.
The Joker's dark eyes swirled with cruelty and madness.
We're going to have fun, you and I, he promised.
The words skittered over her, raking talons along her spine. She shook off his arm.
Don't be late.
Down the hall, the shouting on both sides was rising. The assassins had the skill, but the Joker's men had the numbers on their side, and the wild desperation. Just as gunfire started breaking out, the noise deafening in the tiny space, Selena prowled down the empty hall behind them, turned right, and then stepped through the hole blown open in the outer wall of the brick facade, revealing a sunny fall day, the dried-out lawn beyond, the gaping holes in the Gothic-style fences. Sirens wailed in the distance. Inmates still poured out, shoving past each other to get through the spiked iron fences, sprinting for the long road that would take them down the hill on which Arkham was perched, and into the city itself. She knew some weren't heading toward Gotham City to escape. Some were heading there to have fun. Selena opened a panel in the arm of her suit and dialed a number she hadn't called in years. She spoke as she walked out of Arkham, the towering Gothic building looming above her, and then ran down that burnt-out lawn through the skeletal trees. Time. She had been living on borrowed time, and it was about to run out. All hell was breaking loose. Luke got the alert midway through dissecting what and who Holly had been. A lie. It was a lie, all of it. But as he beheld the explosions at Arkham, as he beheld the inmates pouring down the bleak road past the weather-worn statue of St. Nicholas and into the city, he had a second suit at the offices, changed into it, and was out within minutes, soaring between the buildings. A veritable army of cop cars flew down the streets. Faster. He had to be faster. Lives depended on it. Luke caught a sharp wind, rising high, spearing for where smoke stained the horizon, gunfire already ringing out along the hill on which Arkham squatted, a hulking, Gothic beast. Chaos. Utter chaos. And every criminal in the city would be heading there, to get their people out, to engage in what seemed to be all-out war. She'd orchestrated this. Somehow he knew that Holly had gone into Arkham so that this melee could happen. Weaving between buildings, he spotted Gordon's car and a small circle of police vans and armored trucks a few blocks from the road that would take them to the foothills, to Arkham. Luke soared for them, pushing his wings to the limit. Gordon seemed to sag in relief as he landed. Startled, some of the other cops went for the guns at their hips. The commissioner motioned them to lower their weapons and pointed to the arc of video screens before him, the live feeds off of several city cameras.
"Shut that road down now,"
he barked into the walkie-talkie in his hand. Someone on the other end asked how to do it.
"Barricades,"
Gordon roared. Luke scanned the screen, the feeds from the road. Too late. Too many of Arkham's worst had made it into the city, into the streets. People were fleeing, into shops, into apartment buildings, going anywhere to escape their path.
The hospital,
Luke breathed, pointing to the building just a few blocks into the Coventry district, right in the path of the road.
Get them to the hospital.
He braced himself to take off, suit humming, but Gordon swore. And Luke looked at the feed of the security cameras right outside the hospital. They stalked around corners, down the streets, armed with baseball bats, brass knuckles, lead pipes, anything they could get their hands on, their claws on. Luke's heart stopped as the Leopard Girl Gang prowled for the vulnerable, unguarded doors to the hospital.
I need backup at GC Medical Hospital immediately,
Gordon roared into the walkie-talkie. Luke stopped him with a hand on the shoulder. Because the leopards? That was Mika Ikeda, alpha of the leopard pack, taking up a defensive, guarding position at the hospital doors, flanked by Ani Hernandez, her second, Tiffany McBride, her third. And at every door, in front of every low-hanging window, leopards stood watch. Leopards held the line.
These people are unbelievable,
Gordon hissed.
They're guarding the drugs at the hospital for Falcone's men.
He reached for his walkie-talkie again.
No, they're not,
Luke said softly, as those girls, some as young as 14 and some as old as 28, faced ahead, unafraid and unbowed as the chaos of Arkham barreled for them down the streets.
They're answering a call for aid.
Gordon blinked at him, walkie-talkie lowering.
Catwoman.
Luke nodded.
Why?
Gordon scanned the screen for any sign of her.
Why not go to Arkham to get her?
Luke didn't answer as Gordon began ordering his men into positions across the city. A nickname, she'd said of her getup. The cat thing had come from a nickname the other assassins had given her. Leopards inked their victories on their skin. If anything had led to a cat-based nickname, he'd never seen Holly's arms. Even in the heat of early fall, she'd worn long sleeves, every outfit, to hide the tattoos, the leopard spots inked there.
I need your computer,
Luke breathed, not asking for permission, as he yanked the nearest laptop to him and had himself in the GCPD database in a few clicks, had a web browser pulled up beside it. A state science fair. She'd won a statewide competition. A veritable glass slipper. Articles scrolled past, winners of every science fair, their photos, and there she was. Not Holly Vanderhees, socialite and heiress, Selena Kyle, inner city kid and gang member. 14 years old, dark-haired and unsmiling as she held her statewide science fair trophy. More clippings of various gymnastics competitions, victories. The dates matched, and the face? It was her. Fierce and focused. He typed the name into the GCPD database, Selena Kyle. Her record had been scrubbed clean. Luke used a few backdoor hacking codes, and it reappeared. Born and raised in the most dangerous, underprivileged part of Gotham City, druggy mother, absent father, the mother who had beat her. That part of her story had rung true, at least. Currently serving a life term in prison for attempted kidnapping and murder, among other things. But Holly, Selena, top of her class, top percentile of all exams, smartest kid in her school district, in every district, skilled gymnast, and known member of the Leopards. Theft, aggravated assault, the charges went on and on. Undefeated fighter in Carmine Falcone's underground ring, vanished 2 years ago at age 17 after a third strike to her record. The reason behind the final, damning crime? Luke's stomach dropped as he looked back at the hospital. The Leopards who had answered their former member's desperate plea to guard not just those who could not defend themselves, but also to protect. To protect. Luke took Gordon's laptop with him and launched skyward. Selena ran for the hospital. Past the frantic, rioting inmates, past the cops who weren't dumb enough to stop her, past the panicking people of the city, Selena ran all the way from Arkham, her breath a sharp blade in her chest. Mika and Ani were already there, waiting at the doors. They said nothing as they looked her over, the battle suit and blonde hair. A new scar marred Annie's face, but they both seemed the same. They seemed the same, while Selena, she was a stranger in this body, these clothes, a stranger to herself. Mika inclined her head, stepping aside from the glass doors. Her old alpha had picked up on the second ring, had not asked any questions when Selena explained, when Selena had begged, called in a favor as their undefeated fighter who had never refused an order, who had done everything Mika had ever asked. And so Mika had answered. Brought every leopard she could. Selena gave her former alpha a nod of thanks, and one to Ani, too, before she stalked through the glass doors of the hospital and broke into a flat-out sprint. Chapter 33. It had been 2 years since she'd last seen Maggie. The young woman on the hospital bed before her was a husk, a shell of what her sister had been. Machines hummed and chirped softly, the room dim and quiet. In the two chairs against the wall slept a pair of 40-something men, Maggie's adoptive parents, camped here with their daughter. In her final days, her final hours. Maggie's skin stretched too tight over her delicate bones. Her beautiful, curly hair lay limp and thin. Selena's hand drifted to her chest as if it could contain the cracking she now felt within, the feeling of the floor sliding out from beneath her as she stared and stared at her sister. The cystic fibrosis had wrecked her. The tubes and machines flanked her bedside, the IVs and monitors standing like sentinels around her unconscious sister. So much technology. None of it could keep her alive. Incurable. And the two men sleeping at their daughter's bedside, they had known when they adopted Maggie that she was sick, would not have long, that it would be expensive and hard and sad. They'd welcomed her into their home anyway. For 2 years, they'd fought for her sister, every day, with every dollar they had. And when the first of the anonymous donations came in a month ago, and all of Maggie's medical bills were paid off, they had cried. Selena knew, because she'd been in the shadows outside their beautiful home in the suburbs the night they opened the letter in their kitchen. But all the money in the world, all that stolen cash and jewels and art, hadn't been enough to stop the disease from ravaging her sister's lungs and stealing away her life, stealing away that beautiful, lovely soul. She'd known that long before coming back, before she'd given them the money. She'd been keeping tabs on Maggie with the League's computers, hacking into Gotham City's social workers' reports on the status of her sister's new home, accessing her medical records to check up on the doctor's latest assessment and treatments. It had been her secret rebellion, kept hidden from Nyssa and Talia's watchful eyes. Outside contact was forbidden, as were any tethers to their past lives. But if they'd caught on to the backdoor hacking she'd used to hide any trace of her history on the computer, they'd never called her out. So she'd waited until the dead hours of the night, when even assassins were asleep, and fired up the computer in the compound's subterranean workshop. And then one night, 6 months ago, she'd sat down to do her regular check-in on Maggie. She read the doctor's latest report as if through a long tunnel. Life expectancy? A few months at best. It was the doctor's note at the end. It is now about making Maggie as comfortable as possible that broke her. Selena had joined the League, their palace of assassins. She'd given everything, lost everything, to honor her bargain with Talia. Her life, her soul, in exchange for Maggie's safety and happiness. But it was not enough. And no matter how much blood she spilled for the League, it could not save her sister. But something else could. She'd remembered what the scientist had spoken of, the Lazarus Pit. Not caring about the consequences or what might be demanded as payment, Selena had gone right to Nyssa the next morning, had explained that Maggie was dying. Selena had spent a year and a half training to bring down empires. She had dug her own grave, recited her final rite, and arose from the dead. She had done everything Nyssa and Talia had asked her to do. And yet, when she had asked Nyssa to use the pit on her sister to save Maggie, Nyssa had laughed.
"This is modern-day natural selection at work. The pit cannot be used for such selfish purposes, or on someone with so little value to offer. Even once the pit is fully operational, I would not use it for such weaknesses as familial bonds."
Natural selection. The words had sunk into Selena's brain, burned there.
"Perhaps you should go back into training, if such sentiments are still a concern to you," Nyssa had mused.
Selena let her face become cold, heard herself speak the distant, formal words that convinced Nyssa such a thing was unnecessary, that she accepted Nyssa's decision. Then she had planned, With every hateful word out of Nissa's mouth, she'd planned. She remembered that scientist's password, his directions, how to access the formula, how to steal it. She had killed him, for this woman, this league, and she would make up for it, to save Maggie and to honor the dying man's wishes. No, it would not fall into the wrong hands. Selena slid back into the obedient, quiet role they expected of her, went on enough successful missions that Nissa seemed to forget about her request, and the night before she was to leave on another mission, she slipped into that lab, and she stole every file and note, all of it, everything the scientist and his partners had discovered, downloaded onto her flash drive, then deleted from Nissa's own, deleted from Talia's files, the League backups. A few more commands had her gaining entry to Nissa's bank accounts, moving huge amounts of cash into a new Swiss account that she'd established on her last mission. Money to start with, to get access to what she needed. She left at dawn, right out the front door. But not before she trashed the pit. The scientist's files had shown her how to do that, too. Part of her wished she could see the look on Nissa's face when she entered that underground lab and found the pool to be dead. Forever. Selena was long gone by the time Nissa did. She knew, though, that they'd find her sooner or later, that Nissa and Talia would use their usual methods to hunt her down. So she'd come to Gotham City, not because it had once been her home, but because it was the one place where a young, brilliant biochemist was an eco-vigilante by night. The League had been keeping tabs on Poison Ivy, debating whether to recruit her. Nissa wanted her for the Lazarus Project. Selena wanted Ivy to save her sister. Worried whispers sounded down the hospital hall, and Selena slipped inside Maggie's room, shutting the door. Her sister's parents didn't stir. Maggie remained unconscious, breathing labored. Selena's hands shook with every step closer to that bed, longing and terror knife-like in her chest. Every question she had asked Ivy about ley lines, all of them were open gaps left by the scientists working on the Lazarus pits, the ley lines on which the pools naturally occurred. Ivy had unknowingly filled them in, just as she'd unknowingly helped steal those same chemicals the other night. Some had been used to make explosives, yes, but neither Harley nor Ivy nor the GCPD had asked what happened to the semi-truck containing the rest of the items Selena had demanded they take. The chemicals inside all needed to create a pit from scratch, right on that ley line outside the city. She'd been so good to her source at the paper with her Catwoman tips and photos. They hadn't voiced any questions when their anonymous benefactor asked that they indulge her request for an interest piece on ley lines in the paper. A conversation starter, a way to make sure Ivy didn't question Selena's sudden interest when she asked her about them that night on the roof. She regretted none of it. Using Harley and Ivy, lying to them every step of the way, none of it. Selena crept up to Maggie's bedside. Her skin was sallow, her lips too pale beneath the breathing mask. She carefully sent out a low electromagnetic pulse through her suit that rendered the machines and monitors silent and dead. Gently, she slipped the IV from Maggie's arm, the breathing apparatus from her slender face, and scooped her sister into her arms. She was light, so thin. Selena hefted her sister over a shoulder in a fireman's carry, her free hand opening the door for them to slip out. Again, Maggie's parents didn't stir, and Selena didn't look back as she shut the door behind her. The hospital halls were deserted, save for a woman at the desk by the elevator. Selena remembered her, the pinched, overworked, hateful face of the receptionist. It was pale with fear and shock as she watched Selena stalk by, Maggie over her shoulder.
You can't.
Selena's steps didn't falter as she passed. I can. The woman got a good look at her face and Maggie's. Recognition flared there. The woman reached for the phone on her desk. Go ahead, Selena said as she reached the stairwell doors. Call them. She didn't wait to see what the woman did as she kicked open the metal door. The stairs were chaos. Doctors and nurses and patients and families rushed up and down, desperate to escape the bedlam in the streets. The last piece of her plan? Utter chaos in Gotham City to cover her tracks when she made her move, courtesy of Arkham Asylum being sprung open by the League of Assassins. Selina kept a hand free to hold any frantic people at bay as she hurried down the concrete stairwell to the ground level. She had to move quickly. Off the machines, Maggie's lungs might not be able to last long. It was 45 minutes to the old factory atop the ley line and the pit she'd built beneath it.
Hold on, Selina breathed over the shouting in the stairwell. Hold on.
The seven leopards there were wide-eyed as she came barreling out the back door into the alley. The street beyond was filled with smoke and darting figures. There was already blood dripping off the bat of one of the leopards at the door. An unconscious man in Arkham white sprawled on the pavement a few feet away. The leopards sized up Selina, Maggie draped over her shoulder, and one of them pointed to the street in the opposite direction.
We kept it quiet that way for you.
Gratitude crushing her chest, squeezing the breath from her, Selina could only manage a nod. The leopards would remain, guarding the hospital until the GCPD had the city under control again. Mika had sworn it. She didn't have the words to voice her gratitude for that either, for the remnant of home that had come when asked. Selina started for the clear street beyond, keeping her jog as even as possible to avoid disturbing Maggie. She'd stashed her Mercedes a few blocks away days ago, waiting for this. No one stopped her as she crossed the wild street, cars honking at each other, some people abandoning them completely to flee. Not that way, then. Selina hit another alley, sprint turning into a run. She could see it, the black Mercedes parked along the street, covered in a day's worth of tickets, the hidden keys taped to the chassis just under the trunk.
Hold on, she repeated to her sister.
50 feet. 40. 30.
Selina!
She had not heard her own name in over 2 years. It rang through her, foreign and heavy. She didn't care how Harley had figured it out. Selina. She almost mouthed her name just to taste it, hear it again. Nyssa and Talia hadn't used it. The other assassins had called her Kitty Cat, or variations on it. But there was Harlequin, striding from around a corner, her bleeding, swollen lips twisted in a sneer, aiming two throwing knives at her.
Stop!
Harley's order was a rough snarl. Blood covered her knees, her arm.
I said stop!
Selina kept walking for the car.
I said stop!
Selina paused, looking over a shoulder just as Ivy arrived at Harley's side. Blood leaked from Ivy's temple, her knuckles were raw, her vine whip in shreds at her wrist, her pallid skin saying enough about the depleted stocks of her toxins. Harley kept the knives cocked toward her.
You lied. You are a liar!
Selina said nothing. Maggie's breathing was a soft rasp in her ear.
You're in the League!
Harley said. Those were tears streaking down her pale makeup.
And you used me, used us, to get to him.
The Joker.
You manipulated us into fighting for you, into doing this for you.
She gestured with her free hand to the city in chaos. Ivy was glancing between them, face ashen with pain.
We rushed for Arkham when we saw the explosion, to get you out,
Harley spat.
We went by the statue of St. Nicholas, or tried to, and you know what we saw?
Selina refused to speak. Maggie's raspy breathing rattled in her ear. Harley was shaking with rage, utter and complete rage.
We saw my man arrive, waiting for you. We saw the GCPD show up instead.
Selina had placed a second call on her way over here, straight to Commissioner Gordon, warned him who would be arriving at the statue. Harley kept the knives trained on Selina.
They hurt him. His top men are dead, and they dragged him back to Arkham. They dragged him back after you set him up. You liar!
The last words were screamed. Maggie stirred, a phlegm-filled inhale sounding, and Selina's temper went razor sharp. At the words, at the delay, at Harley's twisted obsession with the Joker, at the pain and fear on Ivy's face. It built and built until it was a wave, a tsunami, cresting and crashing within her, until she didn't bother to stop it. Not anymore.
Then let them drag him away, Selena snapped. Her